From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Last week, Pakistani journalist and bureau chief for the Asia Times, Salim Shahzad, published a story about an alleged al-Qaeda infiltration in the Pakistani Navy. He wrote the story after a naval base in Pakistan's south was attacked by al-Qaeda insurgents who claimed to be seeking revenge for the killing of Osama bin Laden. 2 days after his story was published, Shahzad was abducted from his home. This Tuesday, he was found dead in a canal with marks of torture on his body. Journalists in Pakistan are blaming the country's intelligence service, the ISI, for Shahzad's killing. Freelance journalist Shahan Mufti says that Shahzad's killing is part of a larger war that's being waged in Pakistan.
This war is being fought not between two parties, but many parties. It is being fought on one hand by militants and on the other hand by a couple of intelligence agencies. So the Pakistani intelligence agency is involved. It has its hands deep in this war. The CIA, who's carrying out the drone campaign and has foot soldiers in Pakistan, they're deeply involved in this. And so in this war, information and free information, misinformation become very potent tools. And I think that's the context in which this journalist has turned up dead.
But even as they're in the crosshairs of this war, news outlets and journalists put themselves at risk from the very organizations that provide the bulk of their information. For instance, Salim Shahzad had sources deep within the ISI, the military, and within al-Qaeda, right?
That's correct, especially in that northwestern part of Pakistan where the war is at its hottest. That is an area that journalists don't have direct access to. They are banned from going into those areas. So these journalists are deeply dependent on the ISI, deeply dependent on the militants, and deeply dependent on any official body for their source of information.
But it doesn't prevent them from being targeted by those organizations.
No. Like any relationship with such an intelligence or any institution, there is a power relationship which keeps shifting. And this is all happening at a moment when the journalists were in a power position after the death of Osama bin Laden. They felt like they had the freedom to lambast the military, the intelligence agencies, for their failures and bring their failures to light.
Why did they feel they had the freedom?
With the killing of Osama bin Laden, the military had to come out and apologize for it. And I think that moment of weakness is what stimulated
it. Emboldened reporters?
Yeah, it did.
Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton declared that the U.S. would support the Pakistani government's efforts to investigate the killing. At the same time, the U.S. gives billions of dollars in aid each year to Pakistan's military and security apparatus who are implicated in the killing. So how does the U.S. square that circle?
The intelligence agencies are not admitting to it. In a very rare public statement, they have actually denied that they killed this journalist. Usually when there's question marks around intelligence agencies' involvement with the killing of a journalist, they usually say nothing because they don't have to. So this time, at least a day later,
they took the trouble to deny it.
But how much pressure they're going to face from the United States, unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be much pressure because the United States government, State Department, has very little leverage over the Pakistani army and Pakistani intelligence services, despite the aid that goes there.
If this is a war fought among the ISI, the military, al-Qaeda, American intelligence, what are they fighting for?
This is really the question around the American relationship with Pakistan. What is this American relationship with Pakistan? Why does America seem incapable of letting go of Pakistan? It all has to do with creating an environment in that region that can help bring the war to an end at this point in Afghanistan.
And Pakistan has its own agenda vis-a-vis India and therefore does not align with the American position.
Exactly. That is what we keep talking about when we talk about a double game, that Pakistan's playing a double game with the United States. It's really this idea that Pakistan is trying to make sure that India is contained and that Afghanistan remains a friendly country to Pakistan. And to this end, the Pakistani military intelligence outfits are carrying out their own war in the region, sometimes against the CIA and the United States, sometimes with the CIA and the United States, sometimes against India, sometimes with Afghanistan, sometimes against it. And in this incredible fog, journalists are trying to bring out this very, very complicated truth.
And as so many of them get picked off, do you see the information just closing down, or will there still be some sort of way to look into the murk?
there is a tradition of a free media in Pakistan. There is a tradition of an independent media, print media in Pakistan. Recently, there is a tradition of an independent television media in Pakistan as well. But if you are a journalist reporting in Pakistan on sensitive issues, you're used to your phone being tapped and you're used to being trailed and followed around. But somehow the information keeps coming out of Pakistan. And I think that while this death will have a chilling effect on the media, there's also possible, because of the amount of attention this has attracted, that this will be used by the media as another way to point out the weaknesses in its military and its human rights record in Pakistan.
A lot of the pundit class in the U.S. think that the death of Osama bin Laden represents a kind of closure. You suggest that it's opened a whole new chapter of violence. Apparently it has. Are we not paying enough attention?
I think at the end of the day, we should be asking ourselves, what is all of this for? Who is the United States helping by being involved in this war? And I think those are the kinds of questions that might one day save the life of somebody like Salim Shahzad.
Don't we need to prevent a safe haven being created for terrorists in Afghanistan?
Yes, and I think that the neighbors of Afghanistan are going to have to deal with that question long after the United States is out of that country. That is in the interest of a lot of countries in the region, and seems less and less that the United States is going to have any real role to play in peace in Afghanistan and Pakistan in the long run.
Shahan Mufti, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Shahan Mufti is a freelance journalist and a former correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor in Pakistan.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.